Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios, powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Okay, it is Dom time. A little tease coming up. I can't resist, Henry. The buddy, Josh Barton, who gives us odds on things. He has odds for the ABC talk show, the Jimmy Kimmel Show replacement. He has Greg Gutfeld at 4-1, Theo Von at 5-1, Hiltony Hinchcliffe at 7-1. Oh my God. I'm looking way down here. James Wood, Kelsey Grammer, 66-1.
Jimmy Wood.
James Woods.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah. Exactly. He could do it. Well, he'd get bored pretty quickly.
Yeah.
All right. I had the opportunity. We've had her on over the years, and she's running for re-election in the hotbed all roads politically lead to Bucks County. She's the Bucks County controller. Personal injury and assessment appeals lawyer at Bagley. You know, we're going to have to do something with a smaller screen here.
Yeah.
I don't see the second part.
It's a long title.
Oh, how many lawyers are there?
Only three.
Okay, Bagley, Carlin?
Carlin, and it's even too big for my screen, and Mandio.
Okay. And met her at the Big Fred Heron event, raising money, the boxing situation. Pam Van Blunk is the controller out in Delaware County. Man, we had two, Bucks County, we've had two females on today, both the controllers of money, the treasurer, Pennsylvania, and now in Bucks County. So you have this opioid trust fund due to things that have happened through fentanyl, opioid abuse, et cetera, and that money has to be spent correctly. But out in Bucks County, we have some people who feel they might do what they want. Now, this is a machete. I think this is the first one. Local politics endorsed story. You get that on there. That's more than 4 stars. That's like guys are saying, come on, that can't be. So we'll have to see if he's right. Let's go to the controller here on Talk Radio 1210. Pam, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, right before the election, we're pretty close to that. This is an interesting story. So you have this money from the Opioid Trust Fund, and Henry sent me a long debrief, but I'll ask you, for time, explain what the situation is that you're looking at here.
Sure. Well, as you know, Dom, government transparency is very important to me. My role here is the fiscal watchdog of the county spending. Bucks County has received over $20 million so far, just counting 2023 and 2024. The court set up the opioid settlement trust, which is the trust mandates certain ways that funding can be spent. If it's non-compliant, then the trust will deem it non-compliant. And the trust money cannot be used for the way that it was submitted, if you will. So here in Bucks County, my office became very concerned with some of the for-profit recovery houses and the way money was being spent. Now, obviously, our recovery houses are a much-needed service and program in Bucks County for people who need those services. They're trying to get their lives back in order. So I'm not talking about, you know, the need for recovery homes. We need them. Bucks County needs them. But the concern in my office came when some of these contract, the county was contracting with these for-profit entities to provide capital improvements. Now, I'm not so sure that capital improvements would be approved under the settlement trust because it's not services and these are for-profit entities. So the first issue came when the contract said, you know, basically that Bucks County was providing the money to enhance the homes and services. That is not transparent, Dom, because there was nothing regarding enhancement of services in these particular contracts. What it was bricks and sticks, essentially. And I'll just give you a few examples. Roof replacement, concrete walkways, driveway replacement at to the tune of $20,000. Kitchen renovation, $20,000. Central air installation and replacing windows, $20,000. Another one, roof replacement, another $20,000. Replace structural beams, HVA system, replace damaged windows, $20,000. Replace old windows, waterproof basement, $20,000. So these are for-profit entities that are making money, again, providing very needed services, and they are getting paid for providing those needed services. There is nothing in the contract that says that these for-profit entities cannot turn around and sell these new and improved homes next year, in 6 months, next month, or even tomorrow. So they can use this the opioid settlement trust funding to improve these facilities and turn around and sell them. And that's just not true. I think the Bucks County citizens would want to know where
Absolutely.
The funding is going. Yeah.
Absolutely. And to your point, people are supportive, helping people, this crisis around opioid, to turn their lives around. But just based upon what you're saying, the logic of it is not there. And particularly if we see these sold, say, after an election or whatever, and, you know, and then it just goes away, people are going to be pretty upset. So what action are you taking other than alerting the public about this? What are you trying to do?
Sure. Well, the first thing, now, just to remind all of your listeners, I, as controller, I'm the checks and balances to the commissioner's spending. The commissioners get to decide where public funds are spent under their authority. I can only verify that it's legally spent and that, you know, it's transparent. It's, you know, put on public agenda the right way. So what I did was, you know, one of these contracts were put on in April and I think July, and it said and services. I said, that's not transparent. So my office will not approve payments at this time due to lack of transparency on public agenda. And my concern is also that they are not being transparent to the opioid settlement trust, because if it says those words and services. Now, just so everyone understands, if the opioid settlement trust says it's non-compliant, meaning we cannot use these settlement funds for this purpose, the money's spent, and so it would come out of the general fund, which is taxpayer dollars, of course.
Gotcha. Yeah. So yeah. Did all three commissioners vote on this, if there is a vote, or okay this? Is it two of them out of three? How did that go down?
Well, I believe all of them did approve it. Yesterday, there was some ruckus. Commissioner Marsaglia did leave and did not vote on it. I did have a conversation. I brought this to Commissioner DiGirolamo's attention. You know, he sat on the trust for 3 years. He is not, he didn't renew his term. And he did raise serious concerns and did not believe that it would be approved. So he did raise concerns over it, and I'm hoping to continue that conversation with him.
So your point is you are alerting us to this, and you're going through the proper channels of transparency, and those are not by any legal mumbo-jumbo, those are not services. They're enhancements, particularly when these can be sold, if enhanced enough, at any point. Yeah, that's something taxpayers would want to hear about. And I'd love to see the debate on that, particularly when people are running for office again. The people in Bucks County really want, you know, and I'm not casting aspersions, but it seems to me, how can you sign off on that when that is not a service? That is, and when it's out of your hands, that they can sell it. So where do people go to see more about you in the upcoming election? And by the way, while you're here, your opponent on the other side, what would you say the issue is in this race for controller?
Oh, I think government transparency is key. Mm-hmm. I think being a fiscal watchdog, putting, basically not playing politics. As the fiscal watchdog of the county spending, I have investigative powers. So, I investigate anyone who could possibly be committing fraud, waste, and abuse.
Wait a minute. Let me just say a bit of a joke. When do you get sleep then when it comes to government fraud, waste, and abuse you're investigating? I mean, we need five people to do that around the clock. So where do we go, Pam, to see your campaign?
I agree. Sure. You can go to my website, VanBlonk4Controller.com.
All right. Well, thank you. And thanks for the debriefing with Henry. And give us an update, would you please? And we'll talk again when we see where this goes next.
Will do. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Pam. Again, you know, you got something sensitive here, the Opioid Trust Fund. You know how I feel about the commissioners out there, including DiGirolamo. I know he's a Republican. It doesn't matter to me, guy. Again, Bucks County's the one bastion of sanity in the suburbs. You know, in Delaware County, you have bad Republican Party, and then they raise taxes. The progressives running it by 23%. Over in Chester County, they have a guy walk out of prison. Everybody's frightened. Then they forget about it. And Montgomery County's Little Philadelphia. So Bucks County is where we have a real shot at sanity, at least voters. How do we explain they vote for Heron and Shoren, the law enforcement, and Van Blonk? And yet we have Marsaglia and Bob Harve, Harve DeGrasse, Harvey, as two of the three commissioners there. And are people really going to say, well, yeah, that sounds fine to me. Let them spend that money. No, no, no. The money's put in there, and that's a lot of money for services, given the scourge of opioid, right? If you're using it to put your roof on, what's a service? Oh, well, it's part of their training. We made them roofers or something.
Yeah.
Now, Henry, that's the bottom line. How could you boldly, this isn't complicated, where, it's a difference of opinion. A service is servicing those people, therapy, et cetera.
Yes.
It's not put, and I bet that we'll see details. I'm just guessing the enhancements are not just a roof, you know, it's like a sun deck or something.
Well, yeah, she was telling me all sorts of things. New kitchen floors, new kitchen backsplashes, new
that's
bathrooms. She was listing them on and on. We were talking earlier.
Yeah, I want to see the fixtures in the bathrooms.
And then she didn't even hit on it in this interview. I mean, they're going to other places besides the houses as well.
Oh, what?
Like, she mentioned there's some sort of busing that doesn't even take people to, these recovery homes or things like that, like where they're moving money around. It just seems a little fishy. We'll say that.
To put a mile. Yeah. All right. So, again, thanks for contacting us. This is why, despite these big national stories, we live here locally. On the big national story, again, we continue. Here is here's a little bit of Laura Ingraham last night talking about the Kimmel's suspension. And trying to push back on this idea, is this cancel culture or is it more consequence culture? Remember, I agree with Dave Portnoy on some of this. There's at least three or four things that distinguish it. One, are you dredging up something people did in high school or something like that? Answer, no, we're not. Did the person apologize and say they made some error and they're not going to do it again? No, he did not. Is it serious enough? And the answer is on this, yeah, the country's raw and you lied about it. There was no evidence it would take you down the path that this guy was MAGA. When I heard Jimmy Kimmel doing it, I'm saying, you know, not just the politics of this. Are you nuts? What got into your head? Everything is pointing the other way. There's nothing here that would connect it. Nothing. There's no defense. So you have to apologize and say, I got wound up. I meant this. You at least have to do that. And usually, if you do that and you're sincere somewhat, okay, you get a moment of grace here. That's the difference. If you're canceled, you know, I thought I would ask, well, what was the all-time worst? Henry, I wasn't going to do it as a side, too serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go to the top of my mind. The all-time cancel was what? Meaning,
oh,
it was
man.
Just egregious that, you know, this person would be under the. I mean, Josh Allen, I remember during the draft, they were talking he's going to drop because of some of the text or something he did, cultural appropriation,
yeah,
I'll call it that.
Like that.
Yeah, when he was in high school. Really? Come on. You know, this is not that. But this idea that somebody says the wrong word, somebody takes it that way, and they're out. That's what we're against. That's the thing that is driving this. You should have a right to apologize, then people make a judgment. He wouldn't apologize. I don't think he is going to apologize. Sinclair's saying not only does he have to apologize, they want him to make a contribution. Now, even I have to say, whoa, boy, this is going to be a big step. Is Jimmy Kimmel going to make a contribution to the Charlie Kirk Fund? Okay, and the answer would be, given the damage of this line, why would you not be able to donate to Charlie Kirk? Well, I really differ with him. I get that. But are you saying this guy, you're still going to go down the path, was a white supremacist, misogynist, etc.? That's why you couldn't do it? If they stick to that, he's not going to make a significant donation, I don't think. All right, so if you have a cancel moment, too, you can hit us with that. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. I am coming to your calls. Andy Ngo here at 2:30. Andy is the expert. He's the one that was first attacked in a major way by Antifa. President declared a domestic terrorism group overnight. He'll join us at 2:30, and we'll talk about this whole web of violence on the left. Does he think there were more players here rather than this one idiot? And the whole trans group violence, that they feel emboldened, that you're just a hater, you have to be taken out. How far does that go? How many people? What are we talking about? All right, 855-839-1210.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I love this story. I don't know about you, Henry, but the bike lane, ugh. You know, I'm tempted to run across. Sometimes I'm come racing across the street, and, you know, wait a minute, the bike lane, they're mm-hmm. flying down here. Last night, let me get the name of the group right. Let's see. The Society Hill Group approve $25,000 to fight bike lane protections on Spruce and Pine. Overwhelming majority of Society Hill Civic Association approved a gift to Friends and Pine and Spruce. So in other words, they're trying to stop these more concrete barriers and things of that nature being set up here. In August, acting on a suit from this group, they ordered the city to stop work on loading zones designed to allow residents to park briefly without idling in the bike lanes. George Paquetto involved in this. But I think that this could block, they say, bike lane safety measures across the city. We'd be, in effect, paying to impose our will on other parts of the city.
Well, I hope these people who are liberal are getting a taste of their own medicine, of their nonsense here. And these hordes of bicyclists are just out of control. They are a group that just goes after people. You know, maybe it's not a good idea that you're going to be biking at high speed through city streets in downtown Philadelphia. I was talking to Greg, who's a biker. Oh, man, watch for Stocker next year in the big race. He's already in training, 40 miles a week.
Dang, all right, Greg.
Yeah, exactly, 40 miles a week. And he and Nick are going to be, you know, we may have to get Nick Cale on to see his training for this. They're doing the Mannion, I'm not sure, I think he said 5K, not 2.5. If they do a 5K over in Doylestown for the Mannion Foundation, which is a heck of an event. I mean, it is amazing, the crowds. We'll have to see if Nick is in shape. He did the bicycle thing pretty easily. That's impressive to me, 65 miles. But doing it in downtown Philadelphia, particularly how motorized these things are, particularly the people with scooters and all, it's a menace if you live there. I guess the argument is if you want to live in Center City, you're going to have to put up with this. But the demands... And the guy who was first bicycle lane crazy was Jim Kenney. He's the guy that tapped into this group of voters because they don't care about anything else. They don't want the car. They don't want the car in Center City. They want just bikes and people walking around, et cetera. So
I'm okay with that.
You are?
I know. Yeah, I know we're on opposite sides of the fence of this.
How are we supposed to get anywhere here?
Well, this was voted one of the most walkable cities in America, so I do a fair amount of walking.
Yeah, well, I do too, at least a couple of miles a day. But Henry, how am I getting from home to here then?
Well, you? Yeah. You should drive. I'm not saying nobody should drive, but I'm for the bikes and the walking because it does clear up some more, you know, room for cars.
Okay, but how about these motorized, the hazard of these people that are motorized? If you're actually biking, I get it. That's a little bit different.
I think for the most part, in my experience, that a lot of the bikers are careful. They're very considerate of the cars around them. They're not just flying through red lights or things like that or cutting you off. Like, I haven't had an instance yet where I've needed to, like, honk at somebody or flip someone off. But, I mean, maybe that day could be today. But
yeah, well,
for right now, I
imagine
have no
if you live there, though, you can't have 5 to 10 minutes, something like that, to unload stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're complaining about because it blocks.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Like they're powerful.
You need to unload things somewhere. I mean,
so we got the Bicycle Coalition and we got George Paquetta. Well, that's going to be a battle for the ages. Gary in Newtown, I think this is a pretty good one. Gary, we were throwing this around in the meeting about this one. Go ahead. What's yours?
Hey, Tom, can I take you back to your comment about Bill O'Reilly, who outlined it, I believe, perfectly. However, I have a big problem with Jimmy Kimmel being removed because it's an opinion. He's not a news broadcaster.
Okay.
I just don't like the slippery slope.
Well, you're talking about by whom? By the government involved here? That's with the employer?
Yeah.
Gary, yes. This is a two-step process. It's an outright lie. It's not just an opinion.
Agreed.
And then two.
Agreed.
You don't apologize for it on Tuesday or make a statement apologizing. And then I think it's a much closer call. All right, he did apologize. I mean, if you won't do that, this is something when I guess you'd have to make the argument we're too sensitive about Charlie Kirk then to say they're trying to argue you can't say anything. You can't lie on national TV in this manner and not apologize. You are going to go down then.
I'm there are too many things that if people have outright lie in my past.
Okay.
Yesterday, last week, last year, I don't believe that the government should be involved in removing them. I just don't. I'm on our side. I'm on your side.
Okay.
I just don't like it when it comes back to us. I don't. It's very dangerous.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. And again, is that what really did it here? And this is a closer call. Yes, the FCC guy is out there talking to that Benny Johnson guy. But, Gary, at the same time, the affiliates here are in an uprising. And why do you think they are? Because the Kirk thing is so raw.
I agree with you 100%. I just, again, it's a very fine line for me.
Okay. I know. I respect that on this, but I don't think this is canceling him. When you have the step that you can apologize and he won't, on something like this, you got to apologize.
We will agree to disagree.
Okay. Well, wait, Gary, I'm just asking you. You don't think you have to apologize on this? You're flat out issuing something that is a falsehood.
Again, I believe that not necessarily you, not necessarily me. People out in the media outright lie every single day.
All right.
These preachers are lying every single day.
Okay, I would argue.
They're not going to apologize.
Right, okay, that's right. I would argue this, though, but it's a business thing. If it is so sensitive at that moment, so raw, and you do it, the business side of this might come after you because the affiliates, we're not going to put them on. We're talking, I don't know, it looks like it'll be 50 or 60 affiliates. We're not going to carry them anymore.
Then let the private sector put the pressure on, not the government. And if that was the case, I would be 100% behind it.
Okay, what's your side, Gary?
It was funny, and not until today did you get the side question that I really read into the Shawshank Redemption. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yep.
I'm giving an answer where a man killed someone and then redeemed himself all the way through the end, figured out what he did wrong, changed his heart, and then went on a journey through that and went to a journey to Mexico to join his friend who was convicted but innocent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Two journeys. And that journey with the coming through the sewage lines, my God, that journey.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes. Absolutely.
Makes me want to vomit just thinking about it.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah. Henry, I think we were throwing that one around. Oh,
yeah.
Man,
that was definitely one.
A football field and a half or something of going through the sewage. Yeah. All right. It's 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push #1210. We'll get you that journey is what we're looking for. A journey of the mind or an actual physical journey coming off the Mayflower departing this week. Got a couple good ones tomorrow, too, that I'll tell you about. But at 2:30, Andy Ngo, that guy's journey from being attacked in Portland to the preeminent authority, I would say, on Antifa. How does the trans violent group? Are they big in numbers? Are they powerful because the Democrat Party is afraid on that issue and they're not going to give it up? It played out into this big time. But I would maintain that even though we had the FCC guy speaking out on this, it seems to me the affiliates were just being inundated because of the Kirk thing. Are we supposed to say, well, just grow up? You can't be. Why is this the one thing that's sensitive? Well, for a lot of reasons, it is. All these people celebrating. And when you lie about it, just straight up tell us it's MAGA, you can't be serious about that. You can't defend that. If he had no opportunity to apologize. All right, now we're into a different angle here. But when you do and you won't, okay, and they're trying to go after just a great guy, Brian Kilmeade, on this. Watching CNN last night, well, why does he still have a job? I think it was very much different than what Kimmel did. And I like what Dave Portnoy said. Canceling is going back to a different time or your youth and bringing that up against you, or not giving you a chance to say, all right, it won't happen again. I was wrong here. Here's why. Then we make a judgment on it. All right, let's talk about great news coming from Dr. Benz. Over the years, I've told you about all the improvements constantly. Well, how about this? People are busy. Dr. Benz knows that. What's the remedy to open up more time, more availability, and great dental care? Well, in September, right now, great news, Dr. Benz is expanding his services and availability with a new prosthodontist joining the team this September, right now. So if you're a patient with complex dental issues, maybe even putting off seeing a dentist, you haven't done that in a while, or you're a general dentist that may be, you know, slightly overwhelmed with complicated case, the Benz Dental Group, that's your number one solutions provider. Now, I've been seeing Dr. Benz for 10 years, always happy with what he and his team have done for me and my oral health. You'll get that same great road, the journey to great health and a great smile. All you have to do is call and get that initial appointment. 610-272-6949. That's 610-272-6949. Or visit BenzDentalGroup.com. B-E-N-T-Z DentalGroup.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, you're with Dom here on Talk Radio 1210. So I just saw on online Jamie Raskin calling Jimmy Kimmel and the other late night hosts a half a dozen Thomas Paines, spreading the word, the great pamphleteer about tyranny. Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, my God. I don't see how Fallon got in the fire of Trump here, too. Lay off Fallon. Fallon's doing pretty much old-fashioned comedy, et cetera. So,
yeah, leave him out of it.
Yeah, it's not. But it's fascinating to see who might replace Jimmy Kimmel. I think they'll put a late-night show in there. They're going to continue with Celebrity Family Feud? No, I don't think so. There's a reason why.
Is there an appetite for late-night talk anymore? Like, honestly, yeah, like, they always talk about the ratings of everything.
Yeah, no,
like,
oh, it's not.
So is everyone just bad? Like, is there a need for it anymore?
No, there's not. Yeah, that's a great point. That's why this is so difficult on these hosts. It's just snippets that people take, et cetera. No, it's lost audience completely. So maybe they wouldn't put, but I don't know what they put in there then. It's like a status quo thing. And I don't think they want to break the mold here. Not only that, it's too much fun to think of some wild outside-the-box late-night show. Over the years, Magic Johnson, Regis Philbin had late-night shows. Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. How's that going to play out? Yeah. But who's the wildest you can think of? All right, here's the thing. The one they have at 4-1 odds is Greg Gutfeld. I don't think Gutfeld would leave Fox no matter what.
No shot.
No shot. I think he'd be afraid to the point he's making it there. It's working, but he couldn't do it there. But who would they put in there then? Would they put in somebody relatively conservative? And then we'd see the tests for a while, at least, it'd be different. Would that work? To Henry's point, maybe they just, it's sad. I mean, I love Johnny Carson. But then after that, Jay Leno. I mean, Jay Leno came after me. So that, there's that. Yeah. He called me a hectoring guy because I forget the pointed question I asked the one time I had him on.
Oh, man.
I thought it was funny. I thought we were being funny. Then he
believe
got
this
really,
guy?
Yeah,
this guy asked me this question?
It was like that. He called me the Judge Ito or whatever from the OJ trial.
God.
It went back that far. I don't even know how we got him, but we did. Since then, it's hard to just set your time, stay up late, do that. It's snippets. It's people getting little things here and there. They're not exactly doing comedy. The odds they're claiming is that Fallon's the next one to go. And I don't want Jimmy Fallon to go anywhere. I don't see any offense there. Seth Meyers is a no-talent viper. I don't know how he does. But Jimmy Fallon is in the tradition. Yeah. And I like mimics, and I think he's really talented. He touched Trump's hair when he was on. He does stuff like that. He's not somebody.
What about Dave Chappelle to replace
him? You know what? There you go. Now we got a name in there. That would be interesting. I like
Chappelle's show.
I like Chappelle. I just think at times it goes too far in the sense that he knows exactly what he's doing. Bit of overkill there to make the point he's not going to be censored. But overall, yeah, he's provocative. Yeah.
I think it'd be a
I don't
great
think
one.
He would do five,
I don't think he would do it,
5 days a week and the whole thing that Brian associated with it. But I think it'd have to be somebody up and coming that might. And finding people that are funny and going to try to continue to do that versus just be political. And the test, Henry, one big, and you don't have living memory, I don't think too much of this. The fear that people have, it's one thing to constantly go after Trump. I mean, he is a great fodder. He's a resource to use there. You got to mix in a few other targets, though.
Yeah.
But during the Obama years, comedy just dried up. They were scared to death for obvious reasons. They were afraid of race. They wouldn't joke about him. And I think there were plenty of things that you could do respectfully, you know, not completely out of line. And I get why Trump is such a lure. If you're an average listener complaining, well, why do they always do it with Trump? He is a figure second to nothing that we've ever seen.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it is. So day to day, you know, even if you're not anti-Trump, you're going to go there because that's something that can be funny. When you go after Trump supporters, though, now you're starting to get into a line where you're just getting to be political. But who else out there is a good target right now? If you go after Joe Biden, tricky business, because the guy obviously was in the throes of being disabled. Can you joke about that? Yeah, you can. But if I were a comedian and then I got to go, oh, man. You know, it's your business. And it is funny to beat up on the disabled guy. The only thing is the other side saying he's not disabled. Okay. To this point. Kamala Harris would be somebody I'd make fun of. Kamala Harris is on the book tour.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's come down to is she said we couldn't take Transportation Secretary Mayor Pete because he's openly gay and that would have been too risky. Yet, this woman was willing to take Walls. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm looking at this completely non-politically, just the strategist in me. Tim Walls comes in. I got Josh Shapiro on the bench. I got Mayor Pete, and I'm afraid he's gay. He said he would have been the best candidate, but he's openly gay. That's just not going to work. The stakes were too high. So they chose this moron crawling with baggage, including the wife, over Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
And they blame America, saying we're not ready for it. Look, Josh Shapiro, I think, would be obnoxious beyond belief. And if he's your VP thing, you're always going to be looking over your shoulder. But you know what? It's a test of leadership. You put him on there, you win Pennsylvania, and then you ice him if you have to. Just like look at who the Kennedys took. Lyndon Johnson. The power. What did they do? They iced him.
I didn't know that.
I would have taken Josh Shapiro if I were, you know, whatever his demands, I would have yesed him and I would have done it.
I saw them taking Tim Walls over.
Yeah,
Pete,
and they thought that Tim Walls was going to appeal to red-blooded men, hunters, and stuff like that. Out.
Well, yeah, you just run the. You're playing football. Just run the pick six.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
works
that's
every time.
Yeah, that's right. Right there is the misjudgment. All right, let's go to. I would have to think about Mayor. Yeah, I'm taking Mayor Pete over Walls. Yeah, I'm just not going to go. Why you think?
I think he's a dud.
Well,
to say that,
right. Yeah.
Comparatively, I would take Walls. He's less of a dud than
Mayor Pete.
Oh, I agree. Oh. Yeah, totally. I think
that might be a good Twitter poll.
I don't think that dude should ever show his face again after East Palestine and the train derailment.
Well, that's all true. But Walls, to me, just crawls with train wreck much more than Pete.
Pete literally covered up the train wreck. That's
nicely
what I'm
played,
yeah.
But there's a drop. But the thing of it is, Henry, that Walls has all baggage there of stuff that is far, far out, even military stuff.
Yeah.
They were really, we had a guy on, the military stuff was a lot of baggage. But they actually convinced himself, he'll counter her, she'll reach females, he'll reach men. But how can the Democrat Party leader saying being openly gay is that big of a liability? That's what she said.
Yeah,
the gay
I wouldn't
thing.
Have thought that.
She didn't say what you said, which is another point. Let me go to David in Lexington. David on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, David.
Hey, Dom. You know, by the way, thanks for taking my call. I just realized today, I never thank you for that. So I do appreciate
Well, thank you,
David.
Look, we love having you there. Next time I go, by the way, Charleston was great. And Ro chuckles every time I tell her about North Charlie. And I reference you. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one cancellation that really bothered me was the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
You know, I mean, come on, that's a car.
Yeah,
I grew up in rural South Carolina in a very black part of the county, and we all watched it. I mean, nobody was bothered by it, you know. But as for my side answer, the only thing more arduous than moving my wife down here from up there was Clark Griswold trying to take his family to Wally World.
That is a great example of a journey. Absolutely.
I mean, a woman died. The aunt died. The dog died. The car was a wreck. So
Second one with the Europe stuff didn't work. The American one. That's a good one. Thank you, David. Yeah, that's a great journey. All right. That's what we're looking for on the side. 855-839-1210. All right. Dom Giordano show. So how big of a moment is this with Jimmy Kimmel? This is Cut 17. Mark Halperin used to be on ABC. And a guy is one of the most advanced political commentators out there. Here's what he said about Kimmel being a watershed moment. Something has happened here that's major.
Your reaction to this news, Mark, we'll be learning more about it, but what we know so far.
It's incredible that the Walt Disney Company, which for many, many years has allowed The View and Jimmy Kimmel to take up 2 hours of real estate to appeal to the big stations in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago, where the audiences are more liberal, and now at least one station group, and I believe it's at least two, where their stations are in more rural areas and not in the big coastal cities, have said no. A comment like that in the current environment, less than a week after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, is not acceptable. And the fact that ABC did that under some pressure from the FCC, but more under pressure from station owners, is a watershed. Again, in the history of a company that pumped out The View anti-Trump for a decade, Jimmy Kimmel anti-Trump for a decade, no equal time for MAGA, no equal time for conservative voices. This was a bridge too far under the circumstances, and it's of a piece with what we're seeing, which is some government coercion, but also just the market is speaking. Conservatives watch TV too, and they found that unacceptable.
All right, the thing that interests me there, he points toward The View. The View, which is so backwards in the things that they engage in, so challenged, so many better women out there. How does it go on? How does it continue? And it's an age-old question. Every year we ask that, they really didn't do that. So we'll see if they do anything that rises to the level, though, of the offense of this, the lying about this knowingly and not apologizing. In the past, they've had to apologize, and they have. I don't watch it every day, so I'm not sure that I've seen anything, particularly on Charlie Kirk. They go after Trump. That's a little bit different. But lying about Kirk and MAGA is a line here. He's right. It's that raw. There's going to be a consequence here. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push #1210. Coming up, thanks to Newman Price, great listener, great, clever, and I could take a joke. Henry, how fun, because I didn't have a chance fully to, this will be more of a YouTube, but there's a song that goes with it. It's me in my denim racing suit. Yeah. I still don't get why jeans in colder weather, you know, jeans are the most comfortable thing about. I don't feel comfortable in a jogging thing. I'm itchy just thinking about it. But not only that, it doesn't fit well. It doesn't look good. And it looks too mobbed up if you get one of the fancy ones. I'm not wearing
the velour tracksuit.
Yeah, the velour. If there's anybody out there that has one, I have to wear that to the next public event. A velour tracksuit.
You need, you need like a Kelly Green one too.
Oh God, the worst color imaginable. All right, and we also have from Fred Herron, Warrant Wednesday photos. He told us about getting a guy who was hiding in a bunker. You'll be able to see that on YouTube. Is there sound with that?
No, it's just essentially wanted posters.
Okay. All right. So I encourage you, if you haven't joined YouTube yet, youtube.com/1210, that's the place to go. And of course, I'll play you the latest Larry Krasner outrage here. Josh Shapiro's doing it on a sophisticated. They're both running against Trump. Now, Josh Shapiro has to run across the state against Trump. Is that doable? Is that the way to win the governor's race against a top contender? Hillary Clinton, book pitch for Randy Weingarten. This new book is a critical read for this moment. Scores are down to historic lows. Dissatisfaction with the public schools down to historic lows. Okay. What are they pitching? We're going to stop fascism. All right. 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.